chapter number 46 and text number 2. The Srimad Bhagavatam chapter entitled Uddhava Visits Vrindavan. Text number 2. Tam Aha Bhagavan Pristham Bhaktam Ekantinam Kvachit Rihitva Panina Paninam Prapannarti Haro Hari Tam Mahabhagavan Prestham Tam Aha Bhagavan Prestham Bhaktam Ekantinam Kvachit Ritva Panina Paninam Gritva Panina Paninam Prapannarti Hari Aro Hari Tam Aha Bhagavan Prestham Bhaktam Ekatinam Kvachit Ritva Panina Paninam Prapannarti Haro Hari Mahabhagavan Pristham Ekantinam Kvachit Prapannarti Haro Hari Tam Mahabhagavan Pristham Nirvani Kantinam Pratit Nitva Paninam Panim Prapannarti Haro Hari Tan Mahabhagavan Pristham Bhagantaitam Kambachit Gita Pani Pannatni Haro Hari Tan Mahabhagavan Pristham Tambetatina Pratit Pitva Paninam Panim Panati Arohari. Matajis Tam Aha Bhagavan Pristham Bhaktam Ekantinam Kavchit Yutva Panina Panim Pratanati Haro Hari Tam to him Aha spoke Bhagavan the Supreme Lord Prestham to his most dear Bhaktam devotee Ekantinam exclusive Kvachit on one occasion, Yuritva, taking Panina by his hand, Panim, Uddhava's hand, Prapanna, of those who surrender, Arti, the distress, Hara, who take away, Hari, Lord Hari. Translation by the disciples of his Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Hari, who relieves the distress of all who surrender unto him, once took the hand of his fully devoted, dearmost friend Uddhava and addressed him as follows. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord Hari,
the Supreme Lord Hari
who relieves the distress
of all
who surrender to him,
once took the hand
of his
fully
devoted
dear most friend
Uddhav
and addressed him as follows.
Since there is no purport, we go to the next translation.
Dear gentle Uddhav, Lord Krishna said, dear gentle Uddhav, go to Vraj and give pleasure to our parents and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. Text 4.
The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me and their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, renouncing ordinary happiness in this life as well as religious duties necessary for such happiness in the next life. I alone am their dearmost beloved and indeed their very self. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain them in all circumstances. Purport. Here the Lord explains why he wants to send a special message to the gopis. According to the Vaishnava Acharyas, the word dehi kaha, related to the body, refers to the husbands, children, homes, and so on. The gopis loved Krishna so intensely that they could think of nothing else. Since Sri Krishna maintains ordinary devotees engaged in sadhana bhakti, that is devotional service in practice, he will certainly maintain the gopis, his most exalted devotees.
Om Jnantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscham Shri Rupam Sagrajatham Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Rakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we were reading, as we said, from the 10th canto, chapter number 46. I think there are totally what, 70 chapters, right? The last one? 90 chapters, 90. So we are almost halfway through the 10th canto.
So Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is the Mukharvind of Lord Krishna. Mukharvind means the beautiful face of the Lord. First two cantos are the two lotus feet, and second canto, third canto are the two bhujas, means the legs, upper part. Second, third, fourth, fifth and sixth are the abdomen portion. Fifth, sixth, seventh, stomach part. Eighth, it goes up towards the chest. Ninth, the heart. The tenth, the beautiful face of the Lord. 11th is the forehead, and 12th is the mukut. So we are on the middle of the 10th canto. Somewhat like in the middle of the Mahabharata, there is the Bhagavad Gita. And here we are now in the middle of the 10th canto, most important part. So we will come into great detail today about two personalities. We are going to glorify two personalities today. One is Uddhav, who is very, very dear, most friend, as Krishna himself says. But actually there is more to it. Actually it's like this, that Uddhav is the son of Devabhaga. And who is Devabhaga? Devabhaga is the Saga Bhai, brother of Vasudev. Vasudev and Devaki, as you know, in Mathura, they were imprisoned by Kans. And so Vasudev's Saga Bhai, brother, is Uddhav's father. So the Krishna and Uddhav become first cousins. But not only that, from the age of 5, Uddhav was in a mood of transcendental service to Krishna. So at such a young age. And because of his long association with Krishna, he even looked like Krishna. He even dressed like Krishna, spoke like Krishna. But he had one difference. Krishna went to Sandipini Ashram for his learning from Sandipini Muni. But Uddhav went to Braspati. Now, this is a very important thing one must understand. Braspati is who? He is the guru of the devatas. Now, Braspati knew all the sciences except one. Can you guess what was the science which he didn't know? Braspati, Krishna knew that Braspati lacks one science, and he has not been able to teach that science to Uddhav, his best friend, his most beloved cousin, someone who is so dear to his heart. And he felt this is lacking in Uddhav. And Braspati could not teach it because he didn't have that knowledge. He didn't practice it. And therefore he couldn't teach it. And therefore the demigods don't have it also. Because if their guru doesn't have it, where they are going to get it? And that is the science of Krishna prema. Okay? So Krishna knew that Uddhav is lacking in one particular science. That's all. He only lacked one piece, the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle of transcendental life. And that is the science of Krishna prema. So there was a two-way street. One, Krishna wanted Uddhav to learn this science of Krishna prema. At the same time, Krishna wanted someone to go to Vraj and pacify, cool down his father, mother, the gopis, the gopas, even the cows, even the calves, all animals, birds, even the trees were weeping because there was no Krishna anymore. Just imagine this hall, this beautiful temple that Radhanath Maharaj has created for us. And Radha Gopinath are not there. Gaudithaya are not there. Srinathji, Gopalji is not there. Now what would be this place? This would be just like what it was before, isn't it? Half of it is Tinkerbell school, and this half is, what was that, Iyengar's yoga ashram. So what is the meaning of it? See, the meaning has only come when we put Krishna in the center and develop Krishna prema. That is the highest science. And Krishna knew that Uddhav missed that particular part, because he never learnt it. But he never told Uddhav that you are missing something, man. You better learn that. No, he didn't do that. He said, you go to the gopis in Vrindavan and give my message to them, knowing fully well that the gopis will say, kya yaar, tum, you have brought messages from your friend, but you don't know yourself what you are talking. Okay? And then they teach him. And that is learned by Uddhav. So as I said, there is a two-way street. Clear? Everybody is clear? Why Uddhav was sent by Krishna? Another reason. Krishna, Balaramji and Rohini Mataji were there in Mathura. Incidentally, everybody knows about Mathura, right? Who established Mathura originally? Anybody know? Huh? Shatrughna. Correct. Brother of Lord Rama. Okay? In Treta Yuga. So it's a transcendental place. Because Lord Ramchandra ji is who? Vasudev. And his next younger brother, Bharat, is who? Pradyumna. And the twins are Shatrughna and Lakshman. So Lakshman is Shankarshana. And Shatrughna therefore becomes Aniruddha. Right? So it was Aniruddha, means it's after all Vishnu Tattva. He has established Mathura. And therefore Mathura and Mathura Mandala are the holy dham. Okay? It's not that anybody just says, this is my city and now it's a holy dham. No, it has to be established by God Himself or His Vishnu Tattva. So that is how Mathura was evolved. So Uddhav had a dual role. One is to teach Mathura Vasis when he comes back that you guys are missing Krishna Prem, which I have now experienced. So Krishna wanted Uddhav also to become a preacher. I'll come to that, very important part. Krishna wanted Uddhav to become a first class preacher. But the first students of Uddhava were to be the Mathura Vasis. Because they also were missing ultimate goal of life, that is the science of Krishna Prem. If you miss that, you missed everything. You missed your last portion. It's like supposing you have to give an exam and you miss the final, last chapter. Say you are learning anything, English, mathematics or whatever, and you have not learned that. And the questions come from that only. Then what will happen to you? You'll fail. Isn't it? So, we must know the complete science. And that can come over only from the Evam Parampara. Because you cannot get it from anywhere else. We have got it from Prabhupada. We have got it from 10 books I had to study to understand this. Incidentally, last 1 week. Because I had never understood this thoroughly. I have understood it now because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given in great detail this science. That comes from his classic book known as Saratha Darshini. Now, what does he say? He says, Krishna became Krishna became full of anxiety. Can you imagine? Sometimes we become full of anxiety. But this time it was Krishna's turn to become full of anxiety in Mathura. And what was he thinking? Who is there in this city of Mathura qualified to deliver my message, which would relieve the suffering and make known to the world the supreme position of Vrijvasi's prem for me? Who is that person? He was thinking, therefore he was full of anxiety. Secondly, he wanted someone who could make known to the world the supreme position of the Vrijvasis. You see? And third, who is there who has performed thousands of austerities in order to delight in the sweet ocean of the Vrijvasis' prem for me? There were three things he was full of anxiety in Mathura. So, as I mentioned, the first one was, who's qualified to deliver the message? Secondly, who will make known to the world the supreme position of the Vrijvasis' prem? And third, who is there who has performed thousands of austerities, because it requires a lot of austerity, in order to delight in the ocean, sweet ocean, of the Vrijvasi's prem. So these are the three things. Now if you participate, if you actually swim in the ocean, then only you understand what is the ocean. Isn't it? If you sort of look at the ocean, photograph, or you just look, stand at the shore of the ocean and say, oh, this is the ocean, that's alright, take care. But if you are in the ocean and you see then what is inside the ocean, there are fishes, there are turtles, there are plants, everything in the ocean. In fact, the ocean is 70-something, 2% or 73% of the world's surface. So it's far, far bigger than the land. So similarly, the sweet ocean of Vrijvasi's prem is vast. Okay? And that is what Krishna wanted to know. Who can appreciate this? He says in the first text, that is the one which was yesterday on Saturday, he said, Sukhdev Goswami said that the supremely intelligent Uddhav was the best counselor for the Vrishni dynasty, a beloved friend of Lord Krishna and a direct disciple of Braspati. Now what does it mean to be a counselor? It's defined in Srimad Bhagavatam. We all say, no, we have counselee system, counselor is gone in our Radha Gopinath temple, counselors. But what is the real meaning of the word counselor? That is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Counselor means that Uddhava was respected by all members of the Vrishni clan for his exemplary words and deeds. Whatever Uddhava said is what he thought, and what he thought he said. There was no mismatch. There was no, you know, he was thinking something and speaking something else, like a politician. You see, he was strictly on the same wavelength. Secondly, thus when Uddhava returns from Vrindavan after experiencing the Vrijvasi's prem and tells the Vrishnis about this prem of Nanda and Yashoda and the Gopas and Gopis, is thousands of times greater than even their own love for Krishna. See, the Mathuravasis were thinking that they loved Krishna so much, therefore Krishna came to us. You know, it happens to everybody. Because he has come to me, obviously he needs me more, or he loves me more, and therefore he took the difficulty or time to come here. Correct? That is in the mind of the Mathuravasis. A little polluted, right? Not as clean as that of the Vrijvasis. So that is what Krishna wanted to clean up. The minds and the hearts of Mathuravasis. And who is going to do that? Uddhava was supposed to do that. By going there to Vrindavan and from the Vrijvasis learn and then tell them. And they would believe Uddhava because he was their counselor. Okay. So a counselor is a person who speaks and thinks on the same frequency, who understands Krishna, science of Lord Krishna, and who convinces you about Krishna Prem and Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Prem is the highest form of Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness comes in various steps. Okay? Because this is an international society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. So, there are 3-4 steps which you should understand. One is, when you come, you are a Kanishtha Adhikari. You are new. You are brand new. You don't know anything, really speaking. But within a few days, you learn a few things and you say, I know everything. That is the usual attitude after a few months. And you start chanting, you listen to devotees. Most important, you love the prasadam. And then you keep coming. And that is at the first level of Krishna consciousness. It's good. It's better than eating all the kachara and chapati in the sand of Belpuris. But the point here is that you have to become, you have to start somewhere. You have to become Krishna conscious. And otherwise you have wasted your human life. You might as well be a dog or a cat. It's the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But the shift, the paradigm shift takes place when you move from the animal kingdom of this 4 activity to Krishna consciousness. The second stage, of course, is when you start reading carefully Prabhupada's books
doing some research in the Acharya's books, and you say, oh my God, there is a vast ocean in this Krishna consciousness. Let me start preaching. So, you become a Madhyamadhikari. That is the second stage of Krishna consciousness. And the third stage of Krishna consciousness is Uttama. Means, Tama is, mode of ignorance. Tama, then you have Rajasa, and then you have a Sattva. So, Uttama means when you have crossed over, totally eliminated all Tamagun. So, you are in Uttama. So, that stage is different. That stage is that stage where Prahlad Maharaj had reached. Where he could even in the pillar see his wonderful Lord. You see? But that stage is far off for most of us. Unless, I don't know, maybe some of you have reached that final stage. But it will take time. But it's okay. Even if you reach up to the middle stage, that is fine. Because you should start preaching. And that is what Krishna wanted Uddhav to do. Here is the secret. There are two Gitas. Who says? Shankaracharya, of all people. Adi Shankaracharya. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Eko Mantrasya Namani Ani. Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. There is only one personality, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who appeared as a son of Devaki. And he is the one who is the author of the Shastras. He is the one, Ekam Shastram, Devaki Putra Gitam. Now there are two Gitas, remember. One is called the Bhagavad Gita, in the middle of the battlefield at Kurukshetra. Krishna taught to whom? Arjun, right? But on the last day, last night rather, of Krishna's appearance on this world platform, on this world, on the last night, he teaches Uddhav Gita. You see? And Uddhav is so carried away by Lord Krishna's Uddhav Gita, which he teaches to him. Uddhav Gita is 1030 verses. And Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. So there is 330 verses more in Uddhav Gita. Okay? That means it's nearly, 40% more. So if we are to discuss Uddhav Gita, it will take 40% more time than somebody like Radha Gopinath Prabhuji teaches Bhagavad Gita, no? To the new people. It takes 3 days? 4 days? Huh? 6 days. So it will take 40% more. Means 8.5 days. So, but I am going to condense all that today. So you are going to get, before I hope 10:42, I think that's the end of the period when the Ekadashi is to break. Some of you are still fasting or sabne kha liya? That's right. I think 6:40 the Ekadashi break was to take place, right? Today, 42 or something. So, the important thing is Krishna wanted first Uddhav to become so wonderfully pure that he could receive the most important knowledge of Uddhav Gita, which he is going to teach. You follow? Because the student must, if you are going to do a PhD, first you have to do an MSc or MS. And then you have to, you know, but Uddhav was only at the master stage. He had to reach to the postgraduate stage of PhD, so that he could be post-PhD graduate. You understood now? So, Uddhav Gita is not so well known. Why? Because the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, that Bhagavad Gita is meant for women, for Vaishyas, and even for Shudras. Correct? So, anybody, this one. But Uddhav Gita is meant for post-doctoral students. So I hope you will all not fall to sleep when I start that part. So, I will try my best to make it as interesting. Now, another very important factor which our friend, actually he is a guru, Vrindavan Das Thakur has said, and it's so very important. He says that Uddhav literally means a festival of joy. The word Uddhav means personified festival of joy. So whoever, like, you know, supposing there are some people who are personified anger. I've seen people. They're constantly in anger. Okay? And if you go to them also, you become angry. Why? Because that's what happens. I mean, if you go to a person who is extremely dejected, you know, and you stay with him day and night, what happens? You become dejected. Man is known by the company he keeps. So Uddhav is personified bliss. Can you imagine? Uddhav is personified bliss. And that is the literal meaning, dictionary meaning of the word Uddhav. Alright? As it is. And that is explained by our acharyas. We are very, very fortunate, all of us, in this room. Why? Because we have received something which is like the most valuable, most expensive, valuable thing. And that is Krishna Prem. Through Evam Parampara. I don't think in many of the sampradayas, because I've been through many of them. I was initially as a child initiated in another one. They come up to a certain stage. Like for instance in Vallabhachari Sampradaya, they come up to Vatsalya Prem. They stop there. They don't go to Madhurya Ras. Okay. And they don't know what is this Gopi's Madhurya Ras. They know that there is a word called Krishna Prem. They even give each other titles, Krishna Prem Das. Arabai, but first you understand what is Krishna Prem, no? Then you become a Das. So, the meaning is very, very clear. Uddhav means what? Everybody knows? Personified bliss. Okay, everybody clear now? Did you know this? At least I didn't know till I started studying all this. Furthermore, Uddhav is Prishtham, most dear. Where does Krishna explain who is most dear to him? In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? Everybody knows 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Title is Bhakti Yoga, right? And what does he say? 6 times he explains who is dear to him. 6 times. He says, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirankara Samadukha Sukhakshami Santushta Satatam Yogi Yathatma Dhrar Nishchaya Mayarpit Manor Buddhi Yo Mad Bhakta Samme Priya. Now Krishna is explaining Bhakti Yoga. 6 times he says that these are the people who are very dear to me. Nowhere else in Bhagavad Gita, nowhere else in any other document, nowhere else in any Shastra, God Himself says, who is very dear to me? And He says in Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, Yo mad bhakta same priya, yasma no dvitate loko, loka no dvitache chaya, harsha marsha bhayo dvaigai, mukto yas cha me priya. Second time. First time He says, please try to go back home when you go, no? Open your Bhagavad Gita, read the 12th chapter, particularly there are 20 shlokas in 12th chapter. So start with these definitions come from 13th shloka to the 20th shloka. Okay? And in this way, the last one, the final shloka, 20th shloka, Krishna says, Yo mat bhaktasa me ati priya. These are the bhaktas who are very, very dear to me. Ati priya. One of them is Uddhav. Therefore, we are glorifying Uddhav today. Alright. Otherwise, why should we bother? If he is not very dear to Krishna, why should we bother? If we associate with Uddhav, we become dear to Krishna. Man is known by the company he keeps. So, the idea, the whole idea is that how do you associate with someone? He is long gone. We don't know where he is. But from the teachings, from the books, from the philosophy, if you day and night think about it, meditate on it, you then start acquiring some of the qualities. Okay? So that is very important. That's why we are going through this important part. Furthermore, Uddhav is Prishtham, most dear, even among those exclusive devotees and the object of Krishna's special affection.
He is the object of Krishna's special affection. On one occasion, Krishna took Uddhav's hand, kvachit gritva panina paninim. That is the shloka truth.
Now, when God takes your hand in His, isn't that something? What do you think the feeling would be like? Correct? And that's what Krishna did. Krishna took Uddhav's hand in His, called him to a very silent, quiet place. This is very important. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the middle of the battlefield. There were thousands of elephants trumpeting. There were so many chariots running with the horses neighing. Right? There were thousands of foot soldiers with all their clanging armor and so on. And in the midst of all that rumpus, Krishna teaches Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. Now that is one thing. Because this is a common, everybody has to learn Bhagavad Gita. But this Uddhav and subsequently Uddhav Gita, Krishna teaches only in a very quiet place. Silent place. There is no noise at all. And nobody else there. Because it is Guhyam. Guhyam means very secret. And now that secret is available to us. Okay. Krishna takes away the distress. We all this morning, some, you know, aarti. The word aarti. What does aarti mean? Anybody know? I didn't know at least. Till I read through all this in the last 1 week. We all do aarti, ritual, you know. There's a flame, and aarti karte, and then aarti sabko dete. But why? Why are we doing this? We are doing it to remove distress. We are all in this world, this is dukhalayam, ashashvatam, okay? Krishna himself says that this mrityulok, we are in mrityulok. We are all on life sentence, death sentence, mrityulok. Death is death. And lok is people, people who die. So we are all mrityulok. Okay? To remove our distress, difficulties, because some woman is married to a stupid husband, useless fellow, and she is in distress. Similarly, somebody else is having some brother who is creating problem, or a customer creating problem, or a supplier creating a problem, is in distress. Anything, but there will be distress. To remove the distress, you have to have aarti. That's what Krishna says. Now it's clear why we are having the aarti. It was there in that shloka, but we took it as a routine. Aarti, haro, harinam. But why that aarti? And why we give the name aarti to some girls, no? Because they are supposed to remove our distress. By simply repeating the name, hopefully, one day, our distress will go. So Krishna says that, and then Krishna takes permission, do you know? He takes permission from Balramji and Rohini Mataji that I am going to send this Uddhava to Vrindavan. Because they know everything about Vrindavan, right? Rohini Mataji stayed there. Balramji also stayed with Krishna. Krishna is extremely diplomatic, very careful. Otherwise, this Balram will say, "Arey, kisne bola tumko bhejne ko usko?" You see, so he takes permission of these two elder, and then he sends Uddhav. There's no need for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take permission of anybody. He can just rough ride and do anything he wants, but he doesn't do that. He teaches us a lesson. That always take permission and always make a nice relationship with your seniors, you know. Because seniors have an attitude of getting upset. So, so now we come to a very interesting second part of our talk today. I hope I can finish by 10 o'clock. There's a time given to me. And this is from another book. It is called Gopal Champu. Anybody knows this book, Gopal Champu? Jiva Goswami? Classic. These are all classics. The first one was by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This one is by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, as you all remember, he is the son of who? Anupam. Youngest brother of
Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, correct? But he was the greatest disciple of Rupa Goswami. Of course, there is a story of Rupa Goswami threw him out, and then everybody said, Rupa, how can you remove Jeev? Jeev is part of the body. So we have to bring Jeev back from Mathura. So Jeev Goswami came back and continued. And it was this Jeeva Goswami who was a guru, leader and teacher of these famous Narottam Das Thakur. Correct? Who were the others? Narottam Das Thakur? Srinivas Thakur and Shyamanand. Shyamanand, who actually got that Nupur. Whose Nupur? See, he got Radharani's own, personally. And his name was, I think, Dukhi Krishna, given by Ratan Chaitanya, right? His previous guru. So anyway, now Jeeva Goswami, let's hear him, what he has to say. He says that, my dear Uddhav, neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor Lord Shankara, nor Shankarsana, nor the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, are as dear to me as you are. Bapre. Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, 15th verse, we've already done that. He declares that more dear than Lord Brahma, Shiva and Shankarsana and even goddess of fortune, Krishna, and indeed my own self, you are more dear to me. I tell you, Krishna is the master salesman. Everything he's a master. He's the best of everything. He wanted Uddhav to be convinced. Ki aapko jaane ka hai. And he knew that at the end, Uddhav will tell, after hearing the whole Uddhav Gita, in the last day, that Uddhav actually caught Krishna's feet, that you can't, I'm not going to allow you to go home, to go Golok Vrindavan. I want to come with you. I can't continue to stay here. But Krishna said, no. You have to stay behind. You have to go to Badrinath. And all the best devotees are at Badrinath. They are doing tapasya there. And you have to teach this Uddhav Gita to them. And therefore, Krishna did not take Uddhav, who wanted to go with him, back home, back to Godhead. When Krishna went, left this world, you see. So, he knew that the only way to keep Uddhav's mental stability at that time, when just imagine, there's God in front of you, and he's going away, then why you should stay in this world at all? Correct? You better go with him, no? Isn't it? So, that was the stage. He was alone, Uddhav was with Krishna. So, Krishna first gave sweet words to Uddhav, okay, you are greater than even me. You are more dear than me. Now, actually, everyone loves their own body the most. That's also in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even an ant I have seen, you try to kill a cockroach and see what happens. It'll run here, there, everywhere, you know. I have seen once, of course it's very bad to say that, but I have seen a hen. And the hen realizes that soon it will become chicken curry. So it goes running around everywhere, you know, it's difficult to catch. Right? Even a mouse or whatever. Why? Because they love themselves the most. But here is Uddhav who doesn't love himself the most. Uddhav loves Krishna the most. Gopis love Krishna the most, more than themselves. Alright? So that part, how they love, that Uddhav learned. Now, what does Jeeva Goswami say? He says that you know that my heart, Krishna says, you know that my heart is bound by bhakti. So, why we are doing bhakti yoga? Why we are giving so much emphasis on bhakti? Because Krishna's heart is bound by bhakti. If we want Krishna, I think all of us want. That's why we are sitting here. Otherwise, we shouldn't be here. Okay. Now, if Krishna is bound by bhakti, then we should be bound to him, no. Isn't it? Wherever he is, we should go there, right? So, here it is stated that Krishna was bound by bhakti. And therefore, even if it takes the form of enmity, Krishna says, even if bhakti takes the form of enmity, like Putna. Putna is evidence of this in the world. Disguising herself as a devoted mother, she acted like a mother. But how would my mind not be attracted to Putna because she came as a devotee? So he is advising this Uddhav that you go to Vrindavan in bhakti form. Don't go to Vrindavan to show off your great knowledge given by your guru. Because Uddhav was the number one Jnan Yogi. Because he had learned from Brahaspati. And if you are a disciple of Brahaspati, you are a master at Jnan Yoga. But he knew nothing about the ultimate of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Krishna tells Uddhav, be careful, you are going to Vrindavan. Don't try to show off your great knowledge of Jnan Yoga. Okay, but become humble and try to become a student of the gopis and gopas. Alright. Now, a person who has already mastered under Brahaspati, he has to humble himself to some coward boys and coward maids. I mean, you know, it's a little tragic. One feels very lowly. Ye kya kar diya mere ko? They put me under this ordinary coward men and coward girls. But Krishna wanted to teach Uddhav the ultimate goal of life. Alright? Which was missing. Now we come to another very important portion. And that portion is linked. Everything is linked. I will tell you later. But Krishna gave also tremendous amount of mercy. To just few chapters ago, we did Surpankha, you remember we did in this Bhagavatam, Surpankha, everybody knows? Kubja, a new name, the same old wine in new bottle. So, Surpankha of the Ramayana time, she was in the forest and it's called Panchavati forest, Dandakaranya. And she was with her cousin brother and enjoying life as a holiday from Sri Lanka. Sometimes, you know, young girls, they go to cousin's place to enjoy. And a nice beautiful forest. And there, lo and behold, Lord Ram comes with Sita and Lakshman. And instantly, like this instant coffee these days, instantly, Surpankha fell in love with Ram. Lust personified. And she wanted to marry him immediately. So what happened? Ramchandra, he said, I am Maryada Purushottam, madam. I don't go around. And Surpankha had taken a beautiful form. She could change her form, you see. She was a Miss Universe at that time. And then, but Ram could see through that this is really a Rakshasi. But anyway, so then Surpankha said, no, why are you not marrying me? So Ram said, I am going to have Prativata, only Sita is my wife, see. See, Surpankha was shocked. This skinny little thing. Well, you know, for a Rakshasi, these skinny women don't look beautiful. Neither the Rakshas like skinny women. So, this Rakshasi, this Sita, I just devour her. Abhi main kabab karta hun uska. So, she wanted to eat him in front of the husband, Lord himself. Do you know that? Because that Rakshasi's thing, mood came, you know. So, na rahegi baans, na rahegi bansuri. So, if she's not there, then I am the one. So, then Lakshman got very angry. Everybody remember that? And what did he do? He cut off her nose. Why is it that important? Why is that place important? What is it called now? Nasik. Right? So,
That same Supankha, what she did, you know? She went home. And she started crying to Ravan. This is what happened, this and the rest. But she did one more thing. She told exactly the opposite of her feeling. Not like Uddhav. Uddhav thought and talked the same. Surpankha is the opposite. She said, the most beautiful woman on earth. What, you have all these women here in your palace? They are kachara compared to Sita. And Ravan got excited. Are? What has happened? I missed the most important. My sister has herself seen this woman. And where is she? She is there in the forest and so on. And that is the instigator of the whole war and everything was Surpankha. And Krishna gives the highest importance to Kubja. Can you imagine how merciful he is? Because what did she do? She did a very wise thing. Surpankha, afterwards wisdom comes, no? After a mistake. She went to Lord Shiva, their Ishtadev, and said, Lord Shiva, mera naak bhi kat gaya. There was no plastic surgery in those days. So, she was moving around without a nose. And then Shiva, you know how he is, he's very merciful. He said, you do one thing, 10,000 years you remain underwater at a place called Pushkara Tirtha. It's there in Rajasthan. And in that water you pray to me, that means Shiva, and I will see that your desires are fulfilled. She said, oh, that's easy. So, you know, she was 10,000 years in the water at Pushkar Tirtha, and at the end of that 10,000 years, Lord Shiva came and said, so what is it you want? She said, I want that fellow, Ram, as my husband. He said, that's all gone. Ram has gone home back to Godhead. The time has passed. But in the next yuga, that is Dwapar Yuga, when Vasudev appears as Krishna, I will see that some arrangement is made for you, okay? So she was happy. So this same woman, Kubja, who was bent and, you know, hunchback and all that and ugly, she became a very beautiful woman when Krishna put his lotus feet on her toes and pulled her up by the cheek. And then Krishna and Balram, that same Balramji is the same Lakshmana, don't forget. They go to Kubja's house. So just imagine. And then she was in ecstasy. Alright. So what I'm trying to get at is that Kubja is the exact, or rather Surpankha is the exact opposite of Uddhav. You must know both sides of the thing. Similarly, there was this Qualipede, no? We had that in the previous. Huge big elephant. And it is said that he was like 1,000 elephants. As strong and big as 1,000 elephants. Now who was this Qualipede? Qualipede was one of Bali Maharaj's son. Okay. Bali Maharaj had many children. And one of his son was huge fellow. And his name was Mandagati. Mandagati. Can you imagine? Appropriate. So, this Mandagati fellow, he was so huge and very powerful. He himself had the strength of this 1,000 elephants. And one day, somebody told him that you should actually take darshan at Rangishetra. Go to the Lord. And he'll satisfy all your desires. So he says, that's it. I'm going. And he went and he was pushing his way through. So much so that he was crushing on people, you know, walking and was pushing them. Get out of my way, get out of my way. I am Prince so and so. Mandagati, son of Bali Maharaj. And he inadvertently, foolishly, what he did was he stepped on Tirthamuni. Tirthamuni was a great saintly person. And he, one of the person pushed off and crushed sort of was Tirthamuni. Tirthamuni got very wild, angry. He says, you are like a mad elephant. Become a mad elephant now. Huge as you are. And that is why he was cursed as Qualipede. And he immediately fell to his lotus feet. You know the usual stuff. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. You know, you hear people every day talking on the same way in the streets.
And this fellow was satisfied. And he said, okay, when Krishna comes, he will see that your body is changed and you go home back to Godhead. So even a mad elephant type of person became this one. Then you had Chanura, Mustika, Kuta, Sala and Toshala. You know, the wrestlers, all of them were killed by Krishna and Balram. And they were also actually great sons of a sage, Uttaya, in Amravati. But they were always, they were Brahmin sons. They were supposed to know the Vedas and learn and do puja and this and that. What are the six dharmas of a Brahmin, you know? Dharmas of the Brahmin is, they have to learn and they have to teach. They have to do puja and they have to do puja for others also. Isn't it? They have to accept dakshina and they have to give dakshina, which they never give, of course, in Kali Yuga. Brahmins only take nowadays. So, this is Kali Yuga. So, these children, these six boys, were of this great sage. And he, the father, cursed them. Can you imagine? He said, you are spending all your time in Bali Maharaj's wrestling school. I didn't know that, but Bali Maharaj had a wrestling school apparently. And they were always spending time there. So he says, he cursed them that you become full-time wrestlers only. And they again fell at the father's feet. Sorry, sorry. And the father says, okay, okay. Krishna and Balram will relieve you and give you liberation. So when such characters are given liberation, we all have a chance. And that is why we are sitting here. And what is it that we are doing? We are actually now trying to learn one of the most important scriptures that Lord Krishna himself spoke, called the Uddhav Gita. Are you all ready, awake? Because this is going to be tough. But you have to learn this. If you don't learn this, your knowledge is not complete, unfortunately. Now, I'll make it as interesting as possible. First thing he teaches in this Uddhav Gita, to Uddhav, he starts off where Bhagavad Gita ends. Okay? It is stated that Bhagavatam is where Bhagavad Gita ends. So now you should know the link between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says, the first principle is non-attachment, means detachment. Krishna is teaching Uddhav. Do not be attached for anything in this material world. Because if you are attached, then you will reappear back again in the material world. So you have to get detached. He is telling Uddhav. Okay. And in that way he is telling us also. And he is explaining with great, he is explaining that the material world is ephemeral, leading to great pain. And that God and the soul are eternal. This is the first thing he teaches, that you are not the body, you are soul. Which is the last portion of the Bhagavad Gita. So that you realize that you have to surrender only to Krishna. Krishna then stresses the importance of approaching a guru, which is also there in Bhagavad Gita. And the spiritual master can be even Mother Nature. So, this our Uddhav starts appreciating Mother Nature. Because the mother can also be a guru. As a child, the mother is the guru, teacher. So, become childlike. In the Holy Bible, I remember, Lord Jesus Christ says to everyone, become childlike, not childish, but childlike. Be prepared to be enthusiastic to learn. Okay. Then the third point he says was, he enumerates to for Uddhav 24 natural teachers of the world, including the earth, air and sky, etc. I'm not going into details. I'm just telling you the chapters. Alright? So that it, one day you might go into details. Fourth, Krishna goes on to explain the importance of sexual restraint, relating it to the notion that we are not bodies, preoccupation with sex. That is a great distraction. He says that cripples our enthusiasm for spiritual life. He talks about how to see this distraction in perspective and how to work towards conquering the senses. The senses are like monkeys.
They will fly from here to there, from one tree to the other tree. So how do you control the mind? Remember what Krishna taught in Bhagavad Gita? By perseverance and practice. Correct? So he is teaching the same thing, Uddhav. Krishna is teaching. Then he says how to become a master of the three modes of material nature. And that also one must understand. Then he goes to the higher principles, after the sixth, on the Vedas. And he says that in the Vedas, most of it is for how to go to the heavenly planets, or to the higher planets. But 99% of the people get stuck there. 99% of the souls get stuck there. So when you die, please don't stop. He's telling Uddhav. And you tell those guys in those people in Badrinath that they are now in Badrinath, but when they die, all of us are going to die, and then the soul starts going somewhere, it should go to the right destination and not stop at the heavenly planets. And he says what is there in the heavenly planets, and he explains that these are the attractions or distractions, shall we say, of the heavenly planets. And because we come from a place of death, we are automatically attracted to the heavenly planets. And once we are there, then we are stuck there. And then we cannot progress further. So he's telling Uddhav and understanding all this. Krishna then explains next complexities of karma, action and reaction, and the entanglement of karma. He also explains everything with Raja Yoga and the siddhis, all type of siddhis. And then he cautions that these siddhis will also bind you to the material world. So don't get involved in practicing siddhis. Most of the godmen, as we know nowadays, you know, they just from the air they pluck something and they say, here is something. You want a watch? Here is a Rolex watch. Or some dust or what is it? Bhabuti, no? They get. I remember, I have myself experienced. Once I was in a place called Whitefield, I think, near Bangalore, my wife and I. And we were sitting in a line, and this gentleman was going from each person to person giving something. You know? Aisa karke aisa, aisa karke aisa. Like a magician, you know? Actually. And that is siddhis only, prapti. Which are these siddhis? Mahima, Lagima, Prapti, Prakramya, Ashita, Vashita, you know. So these are like becoming bigger than the biggest. Hanuman practiced that when he went to Lanka. But that was for service of Ram. He didn't do it for his pleasure or somebody else's pleasure. You can use siddhis if you have for service of Krishna. Then he enumerates that the highest opulence, this is very important, highest opulence, Krishna is the possessor of the unlimited six opulences. Everybody knows that, right? But we don't know what is the highest of these six, right? The highest opulence, Krishna tells Uddhav, is the opulence of absolute truth. Therefore, Krishna is personified absolute truth, because he is the personification of the highest form of all opulence. Correct? So that is the equation. Why we say that Krishna is personification of absolute truth. Satyam. Satyam param dhimahi. It is there, no? Janmadhyasya tundvayadi tarata shartesva vignasvarat tene brahmardaya adikavaye muyam tiyatsura tejo vari mradam yata milimayo yatra trisagro musha ramna svena sadana rastakvakam satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam is not teaching anything which is rubbish or any of these foolish things. It is only teaching Satyam Param Dhimahi. That is defined right in the first book. So he says that go for Satyam Param Dhimahi. And he says, I am in Gayatri Mantra and I am in the letter Omkar. Furthermore, he explains the two detailed chapters on ancient social and spiritual systems known as Varnashram Dharma. Furthermore, he goes for Sankhya Yoga again, deity worship.
Now this is very important. Krishna says to Uddhava that unless there is proper deity worship, you will not find me. You will not find Krishna. Everybody is looking for Krishna. Everybody wants God. You see, some people say, no, show me God. Isn't it? I mean, they challenge sometimes. They used to challenge Prabhupada even in New York. There were people who went to his classes and said, have you seen God? Then only you can show me God. He says, yes, I have seen, Prabhupada said. So everyone said, oh, you have seen God? Where is God? Show us. So Prabhupada said, come to my temple, I will show you. So then when they went to 22nd Avenue, that was where it was, right in the beginning, he showed the deity. You see, deity can be in this form or any form. So we are not stupid idiots. We don't pray to stones. We pray to a form. Krishna, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form. Not Krishna's wood or stone. Krishna's form are absolute and not different. But how do you get a form? Unless there is either some stone or marble or wood, isn't it? That's how you can visualize a form with your material eyes. But when you have purely spiritual eyes, you don't need that material thing. You can get the form itself. Okay? Because you, with spiritual eyes, you see spiritual Krishna. Okay? But right now, because we have material eyes, we see Krishna's form in wood or stone or marble. And that is what he tells, Krishna tells Uddhava, that you must always have a murti so that you can concentrate. Unfortunately, I was listening this morning, Prabhupada's one lecture, and he says, unfortunately, they have got in Gandhiji's ashram in Ahmedabad, no? They have no picture or form of Krishna at all. And Gandhiji was praying to Krishna and he was preaching from Bhagavad Gita. So that's a violation of this Uddhava Gita's teachings. They only have a lantern with a light which Gandhiji had used. So they concentrate on that light. But that takes you to a Brahman stage. Okay? And you don't reach beyond Brahman. You don't go to Paramatma or to Bhagavan. The most important thing is, then Krishna teaches him sub-gitas, known as Hansa Gita and Aila Gita. This is pertaining to the four Kumars. And that is a very nice part. Then a very succulent stories are given in the 15th chapter of Uddhava Gita, because everyone wants something like that, about the Avanti Brahman and the prostitute Pingala. So, Pingala was a prostitute. Agreed, poor thing. But her mind was always and her heart was always in thinking of Krishna and not about where is my next customer going to come from. No. She was sitting where she was, always having a mind absorbed. Man mana mad bhakta. Correct? Always think of me. Always be attached in service to me. So she was even thinking like this. So it's not important, he was telling Uddhava, that what sort of body you have. You may have a woman's body or a man's body or any other body. But if you are always thinking of Krishna, then you will go to become Krishna conscious. Without thinking of Krishna, you cannot become Krishna conscious, in short. And the Avanti Brahmana, as we all know, was a very rich man and he gave up everything. And he became a mendicant. And he is telling, giving a hint to Uddhava that you must also become a mendicant. Now, so after Krishna taught Uddhava Gita, Uddhava became a sannyasi actually. And he took sannyas clothes and he went to Badrinath. So that is the 16 things. Now we are at nearly 10 o'clock and we are today also on the most auspicious day of the appearance of whom? Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we will take the next 10 minutes or so on this very, very important, interesting part of first of all, I want to make one more last statement. that the original Uddhav Gita was translated by Sridhar Swami. It is from chapter 6 to chapter 23 of the 11th canto. So if anybody wants to read Uddhav Gita, please refer to 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, and start with chapter 6 and it will end on chapter 23. Okay. Now we come to this great personality called Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now, all of you, I think, have been to Mayapur, correct? So, near Mayapur, on the northeast, just try to visualize, north and east of Mayapur, on the other side of the river, Bhagirathi, that is Ganga, there is a place called Mudadrum Adweep. Mudadrum Dweep. That is an area. And that area is also known as the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And it's an ancient village called Mamgachi. Now the modern name is Mamgachi, but the original place, and surprisingly, Lord Ram, Sitaji and Lakshman stayed there. Can you imagine? They stayed at this place, Mamgachi. At that time it was a forest. And Ram ordered Lakshman to build a small hut under a banyan tree. And Sita loved that place a lot. So, that became a holy dham. Correct? Mamgachi. And that is where Vrindavan Das Thakur was born. We should always know the background, you know, the full details. Then we can appreciate when we go there. Secondly, who is this Vrindavan Das Thakur? Vrindavan Das Thakur was the son of Narayani Devi. And Narayani Devi was the niece of Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini. Actually, I did a little search and I found that Narayani, at the time of Lord Krishna's Leela, she was known as Kilimbika. Kilimbika was the younger sister of Krishna's nursemaid called Ambika. Krishna had Mataji, Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai had an assistant called Ambika. Okay, a nurse. And this nurse had a sister called Kilimbika. Kilimbika becomes Narayani and Ambika becomes Malini. Malini was the wife of Srivas Thakur. Okay. Srivas Thakur was a very great devotee. And what had happened was a very strange thing. Srivas Thakur actually was a very, very mischievous boy. He was a son of a great pandit, but unfortunately he was always playing around and not bothering to study or anything. And then one day, a very strange thing happened. This young boy, he fell down from a tree. And he was nearly dead. And actually, he was in a dream state, you know. And Narad Muni comes. He says, "You are wasting your life, young man. You should study the scriptures, you should become Krishna conscious, you should chant the holy name of the Lord, you should do kirtan in the dream." And the dream was so much like reality that he got into the mood of Narad Muni. So the Narad Muni tattva entered in his mind. And that is why Srivas Thakur is known as an incarnation of Narad Muni. Okay. But there was one clause. Narad Muni said, "You will soon be leaving your body unless you become Krishna conscious." And that happened. He took, because he became serious, he took Devananda Maharaj as his guru. And he used to listen from the balcony of, because there must have been on the first floor or something. But one day that whole balcony only collapsed. And this poor fellow fell down. Sivas, young man. And then when everybody went there, they thought he is dead. But he was actually in, like in the mood of Narad Muni, had told, no, that if you become Krishna conscious, you will survive. So he was in that type of thinking. Since that day, he became a purest of all pure devotees. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to give a lot of respect to him. And Shiva Sangam, no? That's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his movement. Means this Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is who? He is Yuga Avatar. For this Kali Yuga, he is a Yuga Avatar. Predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam only. Srimad Bhagavatam, the last shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, final QED, last shloka is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukkha Samanas Tannamami Harimparam. By Nam Sankirtan, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, all your miseries and all your past misdeeds, impious activities are eliminated. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukkha Samanas. All your miseries of life are squashed, finished. Isn't it? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukkha Samanas Tannamami Harimparam. Then only you can go back home, back to Godhead. That's where Prabhupada took the title for his magazine, Back to Godhead. Okay. So, we just covered the point that Vrindavan Das Thakur was the son of Narayani, because what had happened was this Namgachi is the place where Malini's father lived, and this niece of Malini was married to a man in a neighboring village, but that gentleman died when Vrindavan Thakur was in the womb of Malini. Now, why is Malini so important? Malini is very important because when she was 4 years old, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who initiated her. Can you imagine? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Narayani. And how? Very wonderful way. He was eating betel nut, pan. And he gave part of that pan and gave it to Narayani. Narayani went in ecstasy. You see? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows his original Krishna form to Narayani. 4-year-old girl initiated. And since that day, she became a pure devotee. Okay? And she became the mother of this Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, anybody knows who he is actually? He's Vyasadeva. Right? Who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. The last document written by Vyasadeva is Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wanted to reappear, Vyasadeva. Okay, if Lord Krishna is going to come as Lord Chaitanya, then I must be there. So he becomes Vrindavan Das Thakur. Why? Because he is then authorized to write the biography of Lord Chaitanya. So he writes, the most important document is Chaitanya Bhagavat, which originally he personally wrote in his hand as Chaitanya Mangala. But we now know that document as Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, praises like anything this Chaitanya Bhagavat. He considers Chaitanya Bhagavat is the real document, and mine is just an appendix actually, like that. If you want to really know about Lord Chaitanya, read Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says. And if you want to know the later pastimes, because he did not write the latter pastimes, he was in so much in ecstasy, Vrindavan Das Thakur, that he could not write the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You see, because they were too painful to him. Just like I heard the other day, a friend of mine, that Anirudh Prabhu, none other than Anil Agarwal. So Anirudh Prabhu told me that these Maithili Brahmins, in Mithila Nagar, in Janakpur, near border of Bihar and Nepal, where Sitaji is born. So there also they talk of Ramayana. But they stop their Ramayana when Sita gets married to Ram and Sita goes away. They are too much in pain because Sitaji is gone. So mera life khatam ho gaya abhi. They don't bother about going to Sitaji, going to Lanka and the war and all that. They say that is all rubbish. We don't want to talk about that. We only want to talk about our Sita. So what happens is that when an author is too much in love with the character of his book, he cannot see bad things about that person, doesn't feel like writing about the difficulties that the person faced. Just as much as a mother doesn't like to have see a child in a very, very difficult, miserable situation. So the author considers his book as a child, you see, and gets attached to that book. And so Vrindavan Das Thakur was totally attached to Lord Chaitanya in the form of Chaitan Mangal and Chaitan Bhagavat. So this is the wonderful story about Vrindavan Das Thakur. And we will end here. It's just 5:10. 5 minutes more than I'm allotted. But anyway, any questions or any comments anybody has got at this stage? I'd like to know. Everybody knows now why Uddhavji is very important. Shall we summarize? Why Uddhavji is very important? Because he is very dear to Krishna. Very, very dear to Krishna. More than Krishna is dear to himself. Normally we're very happy with our own soul. But Krishna says Uddhav is more dear to him. And Krishna wanted Uddhav to become a perfect, pure devotee so that he could receive Uddhav Gita. And that he could learn only from the gopis. This is the summary of what I talked. Correct? Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Anything? I might have missed out something. No? I think you are all satisfied, great souls. Now you have reached a level. If you contemplate on this, then you can go home back to Godhead. Okay? Hari Bol. Thank you.